This is kind of where that unique week, and hopefully a bit of perspective, will come for you in the next 2 weeks here as we look at this verse 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to preach on these verses this week. And then next week, I'm doing an exchange with Covenant, CRC, and Pastor Michelle will be here giving her perspective on this passage. So same passage, and I'll be at Covenant sharing this with them. So if you were planning on going to Covenant next week, you're going to get a little bit of a heads up on what, well, you're going to hear the same sermon twice. I'll just put it that way. But this is kind of the uniqueness, kind of opportunity we get to experiment a little bit and try some different things during the summer. You get a little bit of a piece of that as we look at this passage here this morning. So I hope it's good. Let me know. We're going to shoot again for this, as I mentioned, at the end of August. If it works, awesome. If it doesn't, just let me know. We met earlier this week, and I don't think we're going to hit the same perspective. She brings something very different than I bring. So I think it'll be good. But if not, let me know. And maybe when we do this the second time, we'll just grab different passages. I'm certainly open to feedback. With that, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie and wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of those who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. This is God's word. Join me in prayer. Father, open our hearts and minds to what you would have for us through your word this morning. Give us the wisdom of your word, wisdom that helps us to live according to the order that you've created and discern how to navigate the world accordingly. That is true wisdom. Help us to rely and look to your Son always, especially when we fail. Give us grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. So in 2006 to 2007, and that sort of year time frame, it was almost 15 years ago now, in the U.S., the housing market saw a doubling increase in foreclosures over a one-year period. Something like the housing the ownership rate or foreclosure rate went from about 0.5% to about 1% of all homes purchased in the U.S. went into some form of foreclosure over that year span. Now, 1% may not sound like that much, but when you make a jump from, 0.5% to 1% over a year time frame, this is something that rings alarm bells. And as we know, in hindsight now, these alarm bells were well founded. This was the beginning of what would come to be known as the Great Recession. And this became very personal to us as we purchased our first house in Michigan in August of 2008. And in September 2008 is when Lehman Brothers, which was kind of the final string, or final straw that broke the camel's back, that sort of set everything into the Great Recession happened, September 2008. And so as such, as just purchasing our home, just as the bubble popped, we watched for the next 6 or 5, 6 years, our home price decrease by more than half of what we owed in a mortgage. It became very personal to us. Now, this was all sort of predicated, of course, as we know, by a bunch of predatory lenders just being willing to give money out to almost anybody who would apply for a mortgage at the time. And they would give terms in these mortgages in ways that unless something changed for the people who were signing up for these mortgages, unless something changed for them, there is in no way, shape, or form they were going to be able to afford these houses in the long term. And so, of course, over time, about a 5-6 year span, foreclosures just increased and increased and increased throughout the U.S. Michigan, the state that we lived in, being in the top three of where the most foreclosures were during this great recession that eventually led to a whole downturn in the world's economy for a certain period of time. Now, it's interesting, we look back in hindsight at these shady mortgage lending practices, and we know that these were issued by greedy people who were happy to practice unethical practices in giving these mortgages. This is obvious now to us, especially in hindsight. But when it comes to the idea of greed, I wonder if we often recognize it when it is there in our own lives as well. I say it this way because I don't think that it's always that obvious. Greed is sometimes difficult for us to spot in our own lives. The beauty of the Proverbs is that Solomon, as he's conveying this wisdom, he begins to show us a bit of a picture of why greed is so difficult to, or rather, why it's not so obvious for us as a people. And we see that in our text here this morning. As we look at verses 11 through 14, one of the things that we notice right away is that this is a parable. If you're not familiar with what a parable is just a story or some sort of something like a story that is meant to convey a larger point, right? That's exactly what Solomon is doing here. He's trying to convey a larger point as he feeds wisdom. But if I'm honest, if we're honest, as we read this parable, it's really hard to relate to. It just really is. And part of that is because it's so dramatic. It is a very dramatic parable. I mean, look at this. We read verse 11 and 12. This is Solomon talking of these sinful men that may entice him. He says, if they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush a harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. This is incredibly dramatic language. It sounds like some ravenous thief who's lying in wait in a bush or maybe worse, some predatory murderer or something of that sort, waiting to take advantage of their harmless victim. Now, I don't think any one of you are probably plotting any great demise of anyone in your lives. I don't think. I hope not. But as we read this, I don't think that that is the large point anyway. That's not the major point that Solomon is trying to make. Part of the wisdom here is recognizing how the influence of people around us leads you to look right past your own greed without a second thought. What do I mean by this? Well, Solomon is talking about the enticement here of joining this gang of peers, these contemporaries, if you will. People who are just like you, people who are just like me, people who can whom you can look eye to eye with, be on the same level with, if you will. And here's the thing, when we surround ourselves with people whom we have that same feeling towards, right, we can be on the level with them. When we surround ourselves with those sorts of people, we tend to begin to compare ourselves to them. Right? We think about Mr. Jones next door who just bought this new car. And we remember last summer, oh yeah, they remodeled their entire kitchen and they live in the same neighborhood as me, and so they send their kids to the same school as me, and so I know that they pay the same tuition as me. And here you are sitting with your new used car and a kitchen that has a sink in it that nobody should ever put into a family with seven people. It's an inside joke if you've ever been to my house. And of course, a bathroom in your house that has seen better days. And you start thinking about that and comparing what they have to what you could have, and well, you get a little envious. But at least you're not as greedy as them, right? Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, as he's speaking of greed, he says this. He says, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." It's interesting. It's really important to recognize why Jesus uses this imperative in this phrase when he says, "Watch out!" Because it can be so sneaky for us. Greed can be so sneaky for us, especially as we look at those around us. You see, but here's the thing. You, me, none of us, we were never meant to compare ourselves to the people around us. That is not the standard for which we should measure ourselves or look to. Jesus gives us the standard that we are supposed to measure ourselves to in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. When he says this, he says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." See, our goal is always to compare ourselves to God's standard and seek to achieve that, to follow God's law to the best of the ability that, to the standard that he calls us to, that is perfectly. And line ourselves up with that. And so my question to you this morning is, as you think about God's standard, and that being the bar we are looking to measure to, how are you doing with that? I mean, if you're like me, you probably have your ups and downs with it. There are days when you're feeling like you follow what God's will for your life very, very well. And then there are those days and weeks at times where you just feel like you are just down in the pit. You couldn't get any lower. As we consider this idea of greed in our lives and the standard in which we're supposed to live up to that God has for us, the Bible uses a word you may be thinking to sort of describe this attitude that we're seeing here this morning that leads to greed throughout. It's called covetousness. And covetousness is simply an unhealthy attitude or desire for someone or something that is not yours. Greed is very similar. It's a distinction in that might be made is that greed is the action you take after sort of saturating yourself in a sort of covetousness attitude. The Apostle Paul gives us an interesting perspective on what greedy covetousness really is in Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 and Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5, where he equates covetousness with idolatry. And what is idolatry but simply putting something in your life in the place of God? This is important for us to note as we live life and try to discern what it means to be wise people. As we look back, verse 7 in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we see, as you might recall from the other week, this sort of thesis statement for the entire book of Proverbs. Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It tells us essentially that wise living is living according to how God ordered and created the world around us. And the way that we first do that is by reorienting ourselves constantly and allowing God into his proper place in our lives. That is, putting him at the center, the primary focus of who we are and how we live in this world. See, here's the thing. Our covetous, greedy attitudes, they and any other idols that we may have in our lives, as Tim Keller says, you see, they never can be removed. They can only be replaced. And this, my friends, is where the gospel comes in. The gospel is the means by which we gain access to God once again. As we look at our lives and compare ourselves to what we are supposed to, or how we are supposed to live, that is, according to God's law, we constantly see how we have fallen short. We do this all the time. And because of how short we fall, how imperfect we are, God can't wrap his arms around us because of our sinfulness. And so he sent Jesus, his son, to walk the path that we were called to live, that we were supposed to live, even knowing that we would be the ones who would ambush him, who would shed his innocent blood, who would swallow him. And yet, in love and obedience to the Father, Jesus did it anyway. He went to the cross in our place to restore us to right relationship with God. And God raised him 3 days later. Now our call and our job is to constantly look to him, to look to Jesus, and fully depend on him in all that we do, to behold him, to fear him, if you will. As we revere Jesus more and more in our lives and center ourselves on him, this covetous, greedy desires of ours will begin to melt away. And as Tim Keller puts it in another place, he says, when we see him dying to make us his treasure, that will make him more and more your treasure as well. See, true heart change only comes when we put Christ at the center, because he is the wisdom of God, the one who lived in full alignment with God's will. Proverbs constantly presents to us two paths by which we live life, the path of the wise, and then, of course, the path of the fool. As we look at our passage this morning, verse 19 summarizes this for us, these paths for us. It says, such are the paths of those who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. This is a picture of the foolish path. It's a path that's steeped in greed and idolatry. Whereas the wise path is the one that puts Christ at the center of who we are and what we do. It's the one that focuses on the gospel in all of its greatness and in all of its glory. And so why then would you want to live in the foolish path any longer? Especially since Jesus offers his hand to you free of charge as a gift of God's grace to all who would believe. So the opportunity is there for you. Take hold of abundant life here and now as you follow Jesus, and eternal life here forward as you take hold and trust Christ as your true treasure. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that your Spirit would move in us. Help us to see any covetous idolatry, greed in our hearts. Help us to remove that as we behold your gospel, your Son, all the more. As we see that he became poor to make us rich. Lord, may that promise remind us that life does not attain itself in the abundance of things. Help us to be a generous people, because you were so generous to us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We stay.